Hi.
What's up, Connor?
How are you?
I'm good. I kind of want to get right into our boys' clubs because I want to talk about the show last night.
Go ahead. Our show last night.
Thank you for the permission.
We sold out days early.
Okay, so here's the thing. We usually, so I would say one in every three or four shows we sell out. We're pretty close most of the time,
But it always is day of.
Yeah, usually like day of we'll sell out. But
this time it was days early.
It was days early, and we were like, God, look at us. I mean, these Instagram reels must be really working. Like, people are going to the show. It turns out, okay, so we do our live show at Club Cumming in the East Village in New York, which is Alan Cumming's club, and now they've been doing these Trader watch parties. And so people are so obsessed with getting there for the Traders that people bought tickets to our show, too, so that they could be there early and get a seat. So we come out to this room that is like half gay people and half like of the straightest women they make.
What I will say is when we sold out days early, you know what my fear was?
Was that it was for Traders.
Homophobic people.
I know.
That it was people being
people
like, no one's going
to
come to your show.
So nobody comes.
And I'd be like, well, we still have your money.
True. But
that was my fear. But that, and you know what? Here's the thing.
Even worse fear came true, and we had all the, no, actually, it was good. The women who came were very nice.
Thank you for coming.
Except I think that they were like a little bit just confused in general by what the show was.
You never want to stumble upon a comedy show.
No. You want to have known you were going to that.
But it's also like, I knew Peacock, we were going to get him one way or another. I know that they were going to fucking support us, whether they wanted to or not.
Totally. Well, thank God. So my boys club is, anybody that came who's doing these live Traders watch parties, or I guess just like watch parties in general, because I don't know, I love Traders, and I get upset when my girlfriend even just starts talking because I'm like, I have to hear everything you're saying. So I can't imagine being in a bar for one of these.
No, you have. It makes you wonder, do you have a home? Is kind of the question. Do you have a house?
You made the good point yesterday that a Peacock subscription is less than a ticket to the Traders watch party.
Yeah. And like I saw some of those people were really annoying, and I would pay money to not sit next to them. So
the
I don't
line
know.
Line was around the block. It was nuts. It was nuts.
And most of those people weren't even going to get in. So it's like, now you're actually going to miss Traders.
That bar is not big.
Yeah.
No. And then also like,
and also as soon as our show was over, they said, okay, everyone bring your chair up.
I know. That's the other thing. It's like, they didn't even let people stay and see
your
like,
chair, your stool. Yeah.
They came out of all the chairs. So it was standing room only for the Traders watch party. They also, I don't know where the TV is in Club Cumming, but apparently they have one.
I don't know. I don't know the answer to this. And no one went. So the biggest celebrities that were there were us. And that's kind of nice.
And yeah, and only if you paid extra did you get to see us. But anyway, so that's my boys club for this week. Anybody who was willing to wait in line and feeling part of this club of being at the Traders watch party.
And now they know a lot about bottoming, and I think that's great.
Yes, and it was funny too, because I think they really liked our host set, and then I went first, and I was like, you know, talking about being a trans guy, and they were immediately shut down, and I was like, oh no, like this, we gotta like ram them back up for these straight ladies. They don't know.
They were not good. Okay, they were not.
They were better by
they
the
weren't
end.
Bad. They
we,
weren't
we
bad.
We won them over, but it was a jarring experience too.
At one point, you said that's a really strong joke, and I turned to Carson and I said, "He's right. That joke really does well. Really, usually does
you,
really
thank
well.
Thank you. Thank you.
Really does good.
Thank you. Well, it's good to sometimes have to play to people you don't usually play.
And then random people were there that I didn't even know were there that like were like that I love, and I'm like, I had no idea you were in this room. I would have felt way more hopeful. I didn't realize that
in this sea of straight girls. Yeah,
this sea of girls with gorgeous lips. The girl we wanted for our third had huge, nice lips. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. True.
That's why I can't tell who's millennial, who's Gen Z, because everyone's lips are so big that it's like, I don't know.
Pretty soon we're all going to have the same Instagram face and nobody will have an age.
I know. I told with veneers, whatever, but I almost chipped my tooth on the microphone and it was like, well, then I'll get veneers.
I heard you say that part.
I'm trying to get that. Are you mad that I said the thing about eugenics?
No, you said, my friend says that if we all have the same teeth, that's like eugenics vibes. Is not what I said.
My friend, you guys might know him. You might not like him, but he was here earlier and he said that about eugenics.
I just said, I think we should all have our own smile.
And
I
that
think
it was
that's nice.
I agree with you. I think you're right. You're correct. But okay. Then you'll see someone who has everyone's smile, and you're like, they have a really nice smile.
Okay, fair. Some people do look good with veneers.
I feel like if I got veneers, it would just be like so hard to explain it to everyone. You mostly. You and my parents would just be such. It would be so stressful, and that's the biggest impetus to veneers.
Sure.
Is your close family and friends.
Well, those are like, the people that are going to see them. Yeah,
and that they're going to be
my
like,
first
mad
girlfriend
about it.
Had veneers, and she one time took the tooth off and had the little tiny little shark teeth underneath.
I'm out. I'm out. Yeah. My college orientation leader, Kiki, won't say her last name, she did that.
Wow. All right. Do you have a boys club for this week?
Yes. Beta blockers. I love those. I really am into them.
You're in the beta
blockers. I'm on beta
club.
Blockers. I got them from a doctor online who only texts. And all good.
What is happening to our healthcare system?
I don't know.
I mean, it's been bad for a long time, but now that you can text the doctor, I don't know about it.
Well, he won't even text back. So like, yeah, but they do send them to me. And then, but then this girl at work today said she got Adderall from the internet too. So that's,
yeah, I mean, you can get fucking anything these days.
Yeah.
I mean, Amazon, we talked about this before. Amazon
Pharma.
Amazon Pharma. That's freaking me out.
I know. Amazon. Yeah. Don't get Amazon cough. I couldn't for a couple of days. It messed up my nervous system. I couldn't ejaculate for a while. Sorry. Sorry. Don't get Amazon cough. Anyway. Yeah.
But
so
the beta blockers.
I got these beta blockers. They make my heart rate lower. And
they're
love them.
To treat somatic responses to anxiety.
Somatic is a, yes. Yeah. That's the physical response, which I learned earlier. The physical response to anxiety. Yes. I love them. I took them last night before our show, and then they were still in my system today at work.
And that's why you were able to yell at that woman for talking loudly.
Last night?
Yeah.
Oh, did I go out on her too much?
No. I'm saying that's why, because you were on the beta blockers.
Yeah, but then today, even at work, girls were talking in class, and I was like, let them. I was like, that's fine. That's fine. I don't care. I actually said, are you guys talking or singing? I don't care either way. And they were like, he's so funny. This gay guy is so funny. Pilates instructor gay guy is so funny.
Well,
it's also like I can't lose these girls. Yeah. I was like, these girls are like Columbia University undergraduates. No, I need to keep them coming.
They're paying the bills. Yeah.
My bills are paid by Columbia University undergraduates.
Wait, I was going to say something about the lady last night. The other thing, because I said that my boys club for last night at the show, I said it was, eating dinner alone.
I can't imagine that woman standing for an hour. I'm sorry, Glenn. I just can't.
I know. Well, she was coughing the whole show. I mean, I don't think she's well. But when I said my boys club was like was eating dinner alone, and I was asking if anybody in the audience felt comfortable doing that, and I was like, I just had to do that a couple of times on a work trip, and I just felt so awkward. And she goes, suck it up. And I was like, at my show.
To get heckled.
And then I immediately turned around and said, well, I'm trans. And I'm like, and you're going to eat your words for trying to bully me.
And then she did. She listened real good to you and then started screaming when I got on stage.
She's nuts.
She reminded me of Tony Soprano's mom, right?
Yeah.
Wait, that's the worst thing you could say about a person.
Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty toxic character.
Yeah. And here's the thing. She'll never know because she's not going to listen to the podcast.
No, even though we plugged it, she won't listen.
Yeah.
That's should we it. Get into it?
Yes.
All right, boys. We have a great guest today. We're very lucky that he's here. He is a pop culture writer and journalist. You've probably seen his work about the various Bravo Cinematic Universe things. He has a podcast called Gabbing with Gib. We're very lucky that he's here. Please welcome Gibson Johns.
Hi.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. Yeah.
I swear to God, in that intro, you addressed so many things that I've been wondering about. Beta blockers, the club coming, traitors watch parties, texting the doctors. I've heard about this.
Yeah.
I got my answers.
Yeah.
Are you on beta blockers?
I'm not. I've never had one before.
Have you heard of them?
Yeah, because somebody at a recent award show got up on stage and was like crying. She was like, fuck, I took beta blockers and they're not working. So I don't know.
That's my fear, is that they do shut off your emotion. Like, I wouldn't want them to shut off my emotion, but they...
Well, this woman was still crying. I forget who it was. She was still crying.
Yeah.
So they weren't working for her. Yeah.
Yeah. They make you just like... Like your heart, they're supposed to stop the physical manifestation of anxiety so that your brain is still in the same place, but like your voice won't get shaky and your heart rate won't elevate.
Yeah.
Got it.
So if you get like, I guess, especially for like stage things, it's nice.
Yeah.
That's
if you
nice.
Get like a stage fright kind of vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Someone called them performance enhancement, and I hope that they are. So that's the point.
That's why we're taking them. Yeah. I heard on that topic, Jim Gaffigan, I guess, in his most recent special, comedian, he like was talking about taking Ozempic, and somebody was like, that's performance enhancing. And he was like, I'm not trying to run a marathon. I'm just trying to see my kids. Like,
exactly. Like, that's so funny. Oh my God, I can't.
But yeah, so we have been intimately familiar with the Traitors Watch Party recently because we've had the slot after them for our last couple shows.
The first one was amazing because like Carolyn went and like...
Yeah, I keep on seeing them all going. Dolores, Sierra, Dylan, they've all been there.
Yeah,
Alan's been there too.
Yeah.
But last night, no.
But I was wondering, one, about the size of the place because it's you know, it's an intimate...
Capacity is like 90, 90 standing.
Yeah.
And also like now you have to stand for over an hour watching the traitors.
Yeah.
Trying to hear everything.
Right.
No.
No, it's not for me.
No.
And also like, have you been to Club Cumming?
I have.
Okay. So you know, it's like a boxcar. It's very small. And they also, I mean, in all the three years we've been doing our stand-up show there, I've never seen a projector or a television. So I don't know where they're like... playing
last night. They said the microphone might be broken and making and good luck. That was kind of it. So it's like, who's doing tech here?
Yeah.
Okay, but now with the finale next week, I'm like, they're gonna get good people there.
I hope so. I mean, that's been like a lot of the draw. So
we have an in, so we might be able to get in there first. Who knows?
But also, the people who lined up last night, they should have known that they were filming their reunion yesterday. So if they had done their research, they would have known nobody was gonna be there
in LA. Oh,
wow. In LA.
Okay.
Yes. I'd always wondered when they do the reunion shows.
This is a quick turnaround because it's airing in a week. So yeah. That's a very quick turnaround. Housewives, it's a longer lead time.
Okay. What? Yeah.
Okay. So. You watched Traitors last night?
Of course.
Of course. You did. I explained it to him, though.
I'm usually very up to date.
I was going to say, do you like the spoilers?
I know. I'm gonna
I would like refuse. I wouldn't record this podcast.
I'm going to allow because we have to talk about it.
Okay.
But
it was like incomprehensibly good. It was the best episode.
Oh my God. Gabby queened out.
I love her. Yeah. We love Gabby so much. I'll give my reasoning for not watching yesterday was because I've been watching Severance as well. And so my Thursday nights have doubled up.
I'm behind on Severance.
We had our show last night. And so I had to make a real choice. Yeah. 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 But
I got it.
But I'm glad that Gabby's still safe. Thank God.
Me too.
I mean, we were just saying this before. We're like, when she goes off, I'm like not watching anymore.
I mean, because they keep on fucking voting out the people who make good TV.
That's the problem with Traitors.
Yeah, exactly.
If they're good, they leave. And that also correlates to being good at reality
television. But I'm like, the Real Housewives aren't really a threat to these people. And like, why are they voting Dorinda out first?
I know.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I just feel like I'm anti-producer intervention, except for in that instance.
Exactly.
That's where someone should be like, and also like if you're on Traitors, you want people to watch it.
And also, as we know from past seasons, they are like not against throwing out some like random ass twist they clearly thought of like the night before. Like the rules like go out the window in this game. I mean, so like if you see that they're going to banish or they're going to murder Dorinda the first, like throw some new immunity idol that she can find in the castle.
Yes.
And, like,
you mean like when they said Rob can't come in and then they said, well, he's coming anyway.
And he was safe for 2 weeks.
Yeah. Like that's insane. Wait, so do you think that Brittany and Danielle decided in advance to vote for Ivar, or do you think that was a game time decision?
No, I don't. Because they came in and they both came for Gabby and she just handled it so easily. I think that they're really good game players. So like they recognize that like they could shift it pretty easily to Ivar. But I don't think that was premeditated.
And you think they both knew?
Maybe they gave each other a look. Yeah. Maybe when Dolores brought him up, they were like, you know what I mean?
Because
I don't think they would have gone for Gabby first if that was not their plan.
Totally.
Like they thought that Gabby was on the table in a really big way and she had an answer for everything.
Yeah.
She's so good. And so like even keeled, and which is such a breath of fresh air on that show, because especially we were just talking before about last episode when Danielle has that full freaking
shaking in the corner.
It's like, girl, get
up. She's doing physical performance in here too.
She's trying to get
and
like,
I can see why they're convinced. I know. I can see why they're convinced. I don't necessarily like her, but like she's playing pretty well.
Yeah. I mean, it's working for her. I mean, somehow they stayed through. I'm curious about like next year's or next season's casting.
I know.
With like, I don't know, because obviously like I'm not a big Survivor or like the Challenge or any of those like traditional gamer, you know, whatever games. So I don't really care much when they're like, oh, this is like a champion gamer, that I don't care as much about that as I do like the Housewives or the Bachelorette.
Sure.
Or the people that just like Chriselle, people that have more of like a, even Tom Sandoval, because it was
the
like
more like docu-soap people who
like know and are like personalities are going to bring that like fun energy. Like I don't care so much about the people that have strategy. I kind of like watching the other ones figure it out.
Right. Well, I always say like the Traitors is basically two games. Like there's the actual game and there's like the game of like the fame game that they're all playing.
Yeah.
Because like they're all career reality stars who like you want airtime, you want opportunities to go on other shows like this, you want to make good TV moments so that like you got more followers, then you're gonna get like better spot content. Like it's all like a trickle down effect. And like I think some of the gamers don't think about it that way enough because like then they wouldn't have voted out the Housewives because they know that like that is they're the ones who do the best at the round tables where it's like they can verbally spar with the best of them. And I think there's two games happening when you watch the Traitors.
Yeah.
And,
like, rubbing elbows with Derek isn't going to help you go viral.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Exactly. But like going toe to toe with Dorinda is going to, you know, get you on. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Totally.
Yes. Wait, so did you watch Survivor Big Brother?
I've watched every season of Survivor, every season of Big Brother, every season of Real Housewives.
Oh my God. Wait, so has Brittany Haynes been disappointing for you in this or has she lived up?
I thought that I loved her on Big Brother.
Of
like
course.
She's like amazing on Big Brother.
I explained that.
Yeah.
Because you don't like Brittany.
Well, I had just seen Traitors and I came in being like, oh, Brittany's annoying me. And then you were like, no, her history. And I didn't know
it's
any
like,
of her history.
I think her humor pops better on Big Brother for some reason. I can't really decide why. And I think that maybe because she was such a slow burn on this show,
yeah.
like And I could tell from the edit that, like, because they kept, they would include some for comments. Like, that's the other thing with the show. Like, the edit is, like, so telling.
Totally.
And that she always was, like, in an episode. You know what I mean? And so, like, she got her comment in, and she's such a confessional artist. I think that's where she actually is the best.
Yeah.
But I think maybe because it was a slow burn. I don't know. And also, know. She's, like, she is paired with Danielle, and like that doesn't do anybody any favors.
Do you remember, because I'm sure you remember where she says, where Rachel says, who wants to see my HOH room, and then she says, I don't, in fact, I'd rather hang myself.
She's like fucking funny.
That was like 12 years ago, like maybe more than that. She got one of those in here where she's like, if this were a Peloton, I'm not good at this challenge, but this were, if it were a Peloton class about early 2000s pop beats, then I'm in. And it was like, that was her on Big Brother, like good. All the time.
That was really good. Yeah.
You're so right though. Her confessionals have been really good. She's like clearly a pro there.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like when she, remember when Tom Sandoval sort of like cornered her at the front of the castle and she was like rolling her eyes, and then like they interspersed it with her confessional. That was another great
That part was
moment.
Great. Yeah. No, he's another one that I'm like, God, is he annoying, but I was so glad that they kept him around for as long as they did because he's been such good TV.
Some of the best reality stars are unintentionally funny.
Yeah.
And like, maybe he plays into it a little bit, but I really think that like 99% of what we saw from him is just like completely unself-aware.
Yeah.
Like thinking that he's the best at this game. And like, yeah, he helped get Boston Rob out, but like Derek did again, 99% of the work. And then he got banished.
And it was and, the like, one time murdered. That he actually, like, I feel like in 99% of the roundtables, he's been like, I don't know, saying a name that's not even been brought up. He's like Dolores.
I mean,
like,
him and Dolores voted for each other last week. Yeah. Like, out of spite. And he thinks Dolores, of all people, is a traitor. And Dolores loved her to fucking death. She's not good at this game.
No. She every week has been like, I'm going out. And I'm like, nobody's coming for you. They don't care. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's also something so funny about, like, I think the pot is $166,000 or something. And, like, that just means such a vastly different thing to every person at that table.
I know. Yeah. Well, they're also all getting paid to be there.
Oh, an appearance fee.
Yeah. Oh, they all get, like, they get paid good money to be on that
show. Wait, like, a lot.
I heard last season that somebody got six figures to be there.
Parvati.
Dang. Maybe. I feel like the housewives. I was going to say, the housewives probably have...
They don't need that.
No,
maybe they do.
It's not about that, though. It's about who can have, like, an appearance fee contract that can hold up right away. And they just, like, they have some perceived value that they can put
on that. Right, like, you think Boston Rob came for, like, no money? No. Like, he got paid... And honestly, my theory is that in his contract was he would only come if he was made a traitor. That's my, like, completely unfounded theory.
I wonder what the rules are. I mean, I wonder if it's, like, appearance fee per episode. So, like, if you stay on longer, you get more money? Or it's, like, a flat fee?
It might be. I think it might be.
Yeah.
But the person that I heard got paid this, like, got out kind of early. So, I don't totally know.
Yeah, but I would be willing to bet that the housewives have the type of teams that are giving...
Yeah, oh,
are
for sure.
Getting their
appearance
fees.
And they have teams.
Yeah,
believe me.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean... Fair. They're really some of the biggest names on the show. So,
yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah.
Who do you want to see from Housewives on Traitors?
Ooh.
You're going to say a franchise we don't know. And then we're going to just be like,
which
yeah,
franchises do you know?
Salt Lake City and Beverly Hills.
I mean, that's the thing. I would pretty much take anybody from Salt Lake on the Traitors. But the issue is that they're filming right now. They're starting to film right now. So like, most likely they film Traitors in like May.
Yeah.
I guess they could finish like right before and go. But like that's the issue too, is filming schedules. But I mean fucking Meredith Marks, Lisa Barlow, Heather Gay, Whitney Rose, Mary Cosby, Angie Gay, any of them at a round table,
Mary.
I would literally I'm salivating thinking about that. Like,
but like Dorinda, I don't really care about her going off early, and I'm sorry, but like Mary, I would be so upset. I watched it a little. I really like Sonia Morgan, and that's my truth. And then I kind of watched the new one, but it's bad, so that's kind of where I'm at.
I don't want any of them on the No, but I would take anybody from Salt Lake.
I'm not super familiar with the Housewives Extended Universe, but am I correct that with the newer, like, Jenna Lyons is on the new?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
So were they trying to kind of rebrand what it meant to be a housewife in a way?
They basically, like, long story short, the end of the original Roni run, like, it was kind of a mix of, like, they had, like, some racism stuff happening.
Right. I remember
and also,
about
like,
that.
It kind of felt like they all had, like, alcohol problems.
For
sure. Like
so in that sense, yes, it's like you don't need to be a racist alcoholic to be a housewife.
Well, it just kind of felt like, because, like, Jenna Lyons.
And they wanted to be, like, younger and fashion adjacent.
Right.
Yeah.
And,
like,
right.
But
and a bit more like, this is the breadwinner, not, like,
it's not connected. Yeah. It's
okay.
Not fully connected.
Yeah. Because that feels like... unfortunately, what we're looking for are the women who are putting down a lot of wine and yelling. So,
but most of them do have businesses now.
Yeah,
like they
well,
are
for sure.
Like,
I mean, what's her name? Jen Shah, fully had quite a corrupt business. I just got on my TikTok the other day. I just saw the it was like a compilation of the of when they like stop the bus and she's like, "I have to go, you guys. I have to go." And then them getting the thing. Shut up! Are you kidding me, Jen? like them on that bus for, which is like so amazing.
It's crazy.
Television.
That was season two.
I know, crazy.
That just felt like the realest thing that we've ever like. That is giving 9/11 them whispering to George Bush in his ear, being
yes.
like, something. Yeah. Like it's the most like.
Oh. Which
the real
there
thing
was the, there was like the split take of her looking directly into the GoPro in the corner of the van, like, and then she leaves.
Who was on the phone? Husband? The husband was on phone.
Or lawyer?
I think it was husband, and she said, you know, she lied about it, like he was in the hospital or something like that. Yeah. Like, yeah, got arrested on the side of the road. How mortifying!
So wild. Oh, while you're on your television show with your
in
five
a fur,
other friends,
in a fur jacket with cornrows in.
Yeah,
and then you have Lisa Barlow.
That's right. She has cornrows.
Lisa Barlow has a Tootsie Pop or like a lollipop and a fur like, coat,
oh,
and she's like
oh
calling her
God.
Lawyer.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm shaking. I'm physically shaking.
I would love to see her on Traders. I would love to see Heather on Traders too.
Heather would be great.
Yeah, because she's got a lot of personality. I've only watched a little bit of Salt Lake, but that is the one franchise I've watched a little bit of.
Yeah,
and they're all big personalities.
Heather and Monica on Traders would be really something.
Monica would be. I go so back and forth with Monica because she was so good on the show for the one season she was on, and very I think she's the most impactful one season person to ever be on Housewives.
Sure.
Was she the one who came kind of late season and had that
and she had the
blow
fan account
kind of
thing? And they all kind of ostracized her
on the beach.
She,
that
yes,
beach.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah,
yep.
She
okay.
she that wouldn't have happened without her.
Right,
but and I guess on the Traders it doesn't really matter if you're like authentic. You know what I mean? It's like we want the moments anyways. But she's not the most authentic person, I don't think.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Is like I love Meredith Marks so much that I would just kind of watch her like pay her bills. Like I don't want her.
No,
I don't.
Same.
I don't need her to fight with anyone. I don't want anyone in her way.
But like, don't you think that at a roundtable, like seeing Meredith Marks there, you'd feel like you were like. We're seeing what she used to be like as a lawyer, like in court.
Totally.
You know
yeah.
Mean?
I bet she would be really
she
good
would
at
take it.
It
very seriously.
Yeah.
I think what I love about Meredith, and I think there would be episodes where we don't hear from her at all. And
oh,
I like
for
that.
For sure.
She doesn't
she'd
do.
She'd be sitting by the fire alone.
Yes. Yes. She it doesn't do. She's either the center of attention or she's extremely disconnected.
Totally.
She's
agree.
Not going to put one finger in. And I like that.
She's disengaging or she's engaging.
Yes. Yes.
Versus she Mary is going to throw wild accusations out there.
Yeah. And like Whitney's involved in everything. And
isn't
like.
Is she the one who said you smell like hospital?
Yes.
Yeah.
But she's kind of the star of the show now because her
son
is
kind of the moment.
Sober.
Which is so wild.
I got sober. My mom got nothing for it. So sorry.
That's crazy. I mean, yeah, I was just so blown away that like in the first episode of Salt Lake that they revealed that Mary's married to her like step grandfather or whatever. I was like, what is
who no
this
longer,
show?
Who no longer wants to be on the show because he's mad at Andy Cohen for how he like came across on the first season. So,
well, I mean, listen. You know, maybe don't marry your step grandchild. You know, but sorry, edits come for us all, I guess.
Who for you? Okay, was the biggest disappointment on? Okay, so but I'll frame this question.
Okay,
as a Big Brother fan, watching Janelle play almost like with no tools felt so frustrating. Mm-hmm. Who for you is like your biggest like disappointment on Traders?
Janelle was actually up there. I think she had like one good moment at a round table, I want to
say.
With
Sandra. She said, you're a traitor, bitch.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
But like, it's basically like, I feel like it's disappointing when like somebody who you know would make a really good traitor just like isn't chosen to be one. And so they're left being a faithful. And like, it's harder to be a fun, good faithful.
Yeah,
totally.
Like they inevitably, they can feel just like class pets. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, or teacher's pets. And Janelle is definitely up there. Who like didn't perform?
It's almost like the casts are so good that we're overdosing.
Honestly, Dolores is kind of a disappointment in terms of like, because on Jersey Housewives, she's like the mob wife, Italian values, like just like a boss bitch. Like you don't fuck with her. She plays the middle, but like because she's just like she's, you know, she's from a very Italian family where like loyalty is just like. It's kind of blind loyalty.
Yeah.
And I guess that like kind of, that is not a good trait to have
in the traders.
If you're a faithful, like you're just going to believe the people who you believe,
especially if
Danielle is, you know, swearing on her grandkids' lies, that she is not a traitor.
Yeah.
And so like, she's going to take that. And so she can't like in her DNA, she can't go back on like her core values as a person.
Yeah.
And like, it's been kind of funny to watch how bad she is sometimes, but I'm like, I thought that she would actually be good at reading people.
Right.
And she hasn't been.
My favorite moment of hers was when somebody said to Dylan, your brother, oh, it was when Bob, the drag queen, said, your brother's not a good actor, to Dylan Efron.
Oh my God.
She was like, hey, don't say that.
That was good. that was her best moment. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
There was one moment where someone got murdered and she said, and you know they were a real faithful. And it's like, yeah, they just got murdered. So you're correct.
That works, yeah.
Yeah. What kills me also is when Danielle keeps being like, I don't have it in me to be a traitor. And it's like in my spirit. And it's like, yeah, but you have it in you to get tapped by Alan. Like, what do you
right,
like?
No,
it's
exactly.
not a moral
it's,
thing.
Yeah.
It's so strange.
So strange, yeah. But Bob the drag queen was not at all a disappointment. I thought he did a great job, but I wish he was on for longer.
I just think that he came out too strong.
Yeah. In hindsight, I think it's a long game. And
like I think that like if I actually think, and I'm biased as a Housewives person, but like if they had kept more Housewives in, they would have shielded his strong energy and his strong personality a little bit more in those scenarios.
Totally. Yeah.
Like the strongest personalities get picked off first because they're just obvious people.
Right.
And like, it's all, you know, oh, you like laughed wrong or you like reacted crazy to this. Like if, you know, Chanel Ayan or Dorinda had been around longer, he could have used them as shields.
That's
basically.
A good point. Yeah.
But I think that he still delivered great moments in his time on the show. But I agree. I would have liked more.
Yeah. I wish he just stayed on longer because he was like, him and Gabby were like two of my favorite parts of the show for sure.
And I guess like on those like gamer shows, Survivor, Big Brother, like you are rewarded for being quiet generally. Whereas on
you can float.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Floaters grab a life vest. Whereas
as a legend once said, Rachel Riley.
Uh-huh. And I never saw her on. I didn't even know she was on the first season until I went to Wikipedia.
She was. I'm trying to. Was she a disappointment on that first season? Maybe she was.
I've heard the first season's not of Traitors. We're talking.
Yeah.
I've heard it wasn't as good as.
Well, it was
season.
A mix of reality stars and normies.
Gotcha.
But Ceri, who's a Survivor legend, like it's impossible not to like her. She played them all. So.
Gotcha.
It's not as good, but like, they were figuring it out.
Yeah.
She played with Parvati. Okay, well, this is. Yes, I was just thinking about this because she played with. I think that when you play a game, you should know the game that you're playing, and that, like, her getting voted off in season 16.
That's a good rule. Yes.
In that, like, if there's a final two, you should know. You should know if you're preparing for a two or a final three. Because she prepared for a final three, which makes sense. And then producers were like, now it's going to be a final two.
Yeah. Yeah. So on Survivor, they'll go back and forth sometimes. Yeah. Now it's like pretty much always final three. But like, I agree. It's like, that's where the producers.
Well, that's what's funny about this show, too. When Danielle was the last one standing, when Carolyn got kicked off, and then Alan comes in and is like, per the game rules, there's another traitor to be added. And it was like, what rules?
Let me see this rule book.
Yeah, literally. Yeah, it's like, these are rules are updating every
is this
minute
like
of the show.
Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Addendum.
Yeah.
But there was a moment with Parvati, literally right after they like picked the traitors, where they picked the traitors last season, and then one of the housewives says, at the round table, right? They're still sitting there. They just got tapped. And she says, I think Parvati's a traitor.
That was Larsa.
Yes.
Larsa was iconic on the traitor season two.
Yes. Yeah. And Parvati coming from Survivor, where Parvati's a big personality, like watching someone who's rewarded for being big in Real Housewives, like play with a Survivor. It was so crazy.
Oh, yeah. No, that was good.
It like blows the Survivor's brains almost. Yeah. You see her be like shocked.
Yeah. I know it's got to be weird to be in. I would feel really self-conscious. Obviously, I am not a part of reality television, but I feel like even if I was like a gamer or something, on the one hand, you got to be kind of confident because you're playing a game. But at the same time, like I would be intimidated by, all these people's ability to just be like out of pocket on camera and just like flying accusations like that because they know it's good TV and then just being like, wait, what's happening
totally.
Right now? That's like a lot to.
And in some ways, like the people on Bravo have been, they're on every single season, every single year for like sometimes 10 years.
Yeah.
And so they actually have low-key more experience.
No, for sure.
You know what I mean? Like, they've been to 10 reunions and they've, like, held their own. Like, the Survivor people, like, it's a lot if you're on for, like, three or four. If you're on 4 times, that's, like, insane.
Yeah. And also, like, with their reunions, it feels like, I mean, obviously there's still potential for there to be some heat out of this one, but because it's a game, it feels like it's a little bit less versus, like, the Housewives reunions are, like, actual battles of real emotion.
But a Housewives reunion is kind of a game because you're basically fighting for your job.
Shit.
Because you have to perform at the end of a season to be asked back.
Oh, shit. I didn't realize
that. They're season-to-season contract. So it's like,
oh my God.
It's no guarantee you'll be back next season. And so like, if you like don't make an impact towards the end of a season or in a reunion, like you probably aren't going to be back on the show.
That is wild. Wait, so like even like the big players, like Meredith Marks and
I mean,
folks?
Like there are people. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Like, and Meredith had like a quiet beginning of her season. Then she sort of popped off towards the end and she definitely popped off on the reunion. So like, and she's like intrinsic to the show, but if you're that big of a person, like you're just kind of inherently gonna have a moment. But like some of the sort of like more beta personalities, like they have to kind of assert themselves or like tell themselves to assert themselves.
Yeah.
More.
Wait,
that's
I didn't
why
realize
they're
it was
often
season
really
to season.
Annoying. Meredith to me can sit there and be the star in the room. And like,
and who's then, annoying to you?
Okay. Well, Brittany, but that's not a hot, that's like not a hot take. Like,
yeah, it's not a hot take.
Angie at the beginning, but not anymore.
Yeah, not anymore.
At the beginning. And because what you said
and
is
And
she true.
Was asserting herself a lot because yeah. she was like a friend or she was a guest then a friend. Then,
yeah.
And she wanted to like get the full-time yeah. gig. And she
did it.
She worked her way up that
Listen,
corporate ladder,
come
baby.
On. We got to give uh-huh. it up. We got to give it up.
What I love about Angie is such an ally because even when people were lodging homophobic things against her husband, at no point did she say it's a problem. She's like, we love the gay community and my husband's not gay. But she always would be nice. Like,
no, she's so pure.
Yeah, yeah.
She's a really like nice lady.
You
like,
love to
yes,
see that
yeah.
in Salt Lake too.
Yeah, yes, she was always yeah. very she never threw the gay community under the bus in defense of her husband.
No, certainly
yeah.
not.
Yeah.
I found that to be a really cool thing about the Salt Lake franchise as well, was that I, even in just my like you know little watching of it, but it, there's such a palpable like Salt Lake-ness to it,
yeah.
where like the
yes.
and like the Mormon community being yeah. a part of it, it's like a really interesting wrinkle that some of the other franchises like don't
yeah.
have.
Yeah, when you have sort of this sort of like ephemeral like eighth castmate, basically, like
yeah.
whether it's the ship, like the city you're in, or if it's like Mormonism or mm. Beverly Hills, it's kind of like Hollywood.
Yeah,
that like adds a lot to it.
Totally.
You know,
is Beverly Hills the initial, the original one, or is it OC?
No, OC is the original, mm. then New York and Atlanta and Jersey.
Oh, damn. I didn't realize Atlanta was one of the first ones.
Yeah, early, dang. Early.
Okay, I'm from Georgia. That's
shout out.
They had DC for 1 second, but then someone broke into...
They broke into a White House state dinner.
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
And they canceled after one season.
I gotta say, I feel like DC would be tough because they would just be constantly coming, finding things about senators and stuff. Like, I don't
yeah.
know. I feel like there would just be constant...
It might work now.
Yeah.
They should
yeah.
give it
know,
a
yeah, probably. Yeah. Literally. Little House
with
the Republican
you.
Party or something.
Oh, my God. I would sadly watch
literally
that.
Okay so what
yeah,
is a
boy
clubs. this is all boys club but what is a boys club that you are not a part of?
What is a boys club that I'm not a part of? I guess so. I'm a Gold Star gay, but so I'm not a part. I've never had sex with a girl. And
congratulations.
Thank you. That's a common topic of conversation amongst
yeah.
people.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's actually something that like straight girls ask me a lot. They'll be like, wait. Like, if I'm, like, at a wedding or something,
yeah.
I'm like, wait, have you had sex with a girl?
Wait, what's it called if you've sort of had sex with one, but you didn't finish? Is that...
We'll give you a silver star.
I don't know.
We'll give you the silver star.
Is that a silver?
I think that's silver.
When I yeah. was 17, I docked it in.
Wait, actually, we call that a purple heart.
When I tried to write a joke, this isn't funny, but the premise of the joke was, I don't know, did we have sex? I don't know. If you show someone your gum, but you don't fire it, that's still a misdemeanor. Like, is something
oh
in there?
My
something
God.
In that? When I was 17, something. This girl was like, I want to lose my virginity to someone that cares about me. I feel like I'm the victim in this story, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
sure.
Then we did that.
You were emotionally manipulated.
Yeah. And now she's gay. So like.
Oh, there we go. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So there was kind of. Okay.
Yeah.
There was,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That and happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
So
yeah.
we did that.
It is an interesting thing because obviously like in the, also in the lesbian community, like, you know, Gold Star Lesbian is also a very big, you know,
yeah, I'm
moniker
sure.
of something. But it is interesting. I feel like that's something that like is an evolving conversation as like
definitely.
We all
no,
you know,
definitely
evolve in our
and even the, I think
things.
Even probably the term is probably like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if like, if it's not outdated, but like, I don't know. It's not like something I'm like, I have pride that I'm like never.
Right, right, right.
It's just like. Fun fact,
but it definitely is like a very like
it's
boys club thing of like
yes.
yeah because I think especially I don't know I think because we've talked about this before obviously there's like plenty of misogyny in the gay community
of course
and it feels like that's also wrapped up in it is like this mm. idea that like there's some which is such a funny thing too because like in pursuit of like freeing yourself of the pressures of heteronormativity
mm-hmm.
there's still like this weird angle at purity
yeah
you know and like this like pureness
yeah.
of just being a Gold Star gay or a Gold Star lesbian or whatever it is that you are, there's still some like, I don't know, wanting of something like that.
Yes.
Pure.
The words that come to mind are all adventurous women do. Like, don't you want to be like all adventurous? Like,
yeah,
don't
like,
you want to
like,
have a
you've
journey.
Tried it.
Yeah. yeah.
You know, like you've experienced it. I'm like, I came very close to it happening.
When?
In college.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. so cool.
were you out in college?
I came out junior year.
Me too. Yeah. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
kind of the back
Wait,
end of
where'd
college.
You go to school?
I went to Michigan.
Oh, I live
I was
in Chicago.
A fraternity.
What one?
It's called Fiji.
I was in ZBT.
Okay, we had that in Michigan.
I got I'm still embarrassed because I was a founding. You know, I feel about this. I was a founding father.
A founding father.
If you are in a fraternity, okay, you don't want to start it. Like that means it wasn't good. There, no, things aren't usually good at the beginning.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You know, it's hard to like you know become a cool fraternity.
Yeah. It takes years.
Yeah, there was like a tier system at Michigan. It was so silly.
Yeah, sometimes I still go on GreekRank.com just to be like, what's going
Shut
on
the
over
fuck
there?
Up.
How are they doing?
Not good.
Yeah,
not good. They're still putting Everclear in.
They need to reach back out to their founding father.
Yeah, they need.
I know. I wonder if they memorize my name. My headshot looks gorgeous. I bet it's in the
I
house.
I love that for you.
Yeah.
Well, what's funny is when I was in a I was the social chair of my fraternity. And
wasn't
like,
that you too?
Philanthropy.
Oh, okay.
Well, the thing is, I know at least four social chairs my year who were in fraternities who are gay now.
Yeah.
Because we all knew the girls. Wow. We're all friends of the girls. And they're like, oh, like he can like, you know, he has good relationships with the sororities. It's okay.
That was social capital in high school too.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I went to an all-boys school.
Oh, I did too.
Oh my gosh, you guys are so
did you do the plays?
I did the musical senior
the
year
school.
Because it was Hairspray and I really
oh sure who were you?
I was Fender and it was one of the guys on the
I was Courtney Collins.
Oh my god, I was on your show.
Nice white kids who like to lead the way.
I was the one in the show who impregnates like the girl has to go away for 9 months
just
and
9 months.
How she can try out.
Yes,
and I'm the one who impregnated her.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Oh, that's like that's hot. That's a hot role. That's a fertile role.
Indeed. Yeah.
Yeah.
So wait, did you do it at the boys' school or at the girls' school?
So it was a weird setup where it's like basically there was an elementary school, it goes till third grade, and then you split off from fourth through high school. But once you get to high school, it's like all of the theater is co-ed, some of the sports are co-ed, like cross country and track co-ed.
You did those?
I did cross country because I wanted to be with my friends.
You didn't do spring track?
No, I did tennis.
Oh, that's hot.
Thank you. And then what else? Like some of the classes ended up being co-ed because the schools are basically like 2 minute walk from each other.
Yeah. Christian?
Episcopalian.
Oh, that's nice, right?
Yeah.
That's
nice. That's like the more lenient.
Yeah.
The
they're
nice
like kind
one.
Of a chill.
Less intense.
Yeah.
In
it wasn't
in
like
Michigan?
Catholic school.
Yeah.
No, I'm from DC.
Oh, my.
Are your parents in the government? No.
My brothers live in DC.
I love that for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I what was I going to say about the. Yeah, you went to an all boys.
I went to an all boys Catholic school.
I was raised Catholic, so I always. But then when I met people that were,
what kind of high school did you go to?
Just secular.
Okay.
School, but I always found when I met like people that were Episcopalian, I was like, oh, and like women can be priests, like that seems really chill. Like it's a very
yeah. Our chaplain was female.
Yeah,
yeah.
It feels like a very progressive.
Yeah,
for
I'm not religious now.
Yeah.
But,
well,
you know.
You know,
it is
we have the faith of Bravo.
I pray at the altar.
Yeah,
yeah. But yeah, that's
yeah. So you were in a fraternity too.
I was.
And did you like when you went to college? Did you like was that something you always kind of had in mind for yourself, or was just like, oh,
it's
this is
hard.
What people do?
And so like, I don't regret doing it, but I think if I went back, I wouldn't do it again.
Yeah.
Because like I met like most of my friends from college that I still have, I met through that experience.
Totally.
But I also, it definitely like emotionally like stunted me. And like I would have come out earlier for sure if I wasn't in a fraternity. But it's hard because at Michigan, it's like this huge fucking school. You go, the girls are all rushing right away.
Yeah.
Like, so you don't even, you can't really hang out with them. You can go to you can't go to parties unless you're in fraternities or like the parties we know about when you have no friends. And so I was just like, I guess I have no choice.
Yeah.
But I actually, I did the musical senior year in high school and I was like, I kind of like this. So then I tried out for a bunch of a cappella groups and rushed at the same time. And I was like, I'll see what I get.
Yeah.
Basically didn't get any of the a cappella groups. Went for the fraternity. And like, again,
you hate to see acapella turn their back on a gay guy.
You know what?
You
like,
know?
When
you need
it was
to
a sign
most.
For help. Exactly. No, but again, yeah, did I like it? I had fun at the time.
Yeah, of course.
I would say.
I mean, I feel like when you look back on college,
you suppress
it's
yourself.
Such a wild experience in general, kind of regardless of what you participate in. I think unless you're deeply still like entrenched in that like bro-y world,
yeah.
I feel like most people have that perspective on it that it like it was good and bad and all
yeah
things,
like it
yeah.
was really fun but it just definitely
yeah.
like set me back a little bit
for sure. You joined right away freshman
I think
year.
I did it to dull the knife of being gay. I think it was
when
like
did you come out
Well, I was pretty out. Like, oh, I kind of came out totally at 17, okay. And then I would just get drunk and come out. I don't know. I'd black out and then be out when I came out of the blackout. So it was like,
I kind of wish I was like that. I wasn't like that.
Yeah. Black out to come out.
There
kids.
We go.
I would say substance abuse can expedite things. If yeah. you stuff, you got to get Listen, out there. Abuse
yeah.
drugs.
Listen. Yeah, there was no one. There was nobody out that I knew of, and like there was like 30 fraternities. In
yeah,
Michigan.
Is Michigan gay or is it?
No.
I mean,
I mean, like looking back, like there were many closeted guys.
Yeah.
around, but I think I was just like so tunnel vision about it.
Definitely. Yeah. It's hard though, especially when you're like not, you don't know to look for it. It's like
totally
it's
like I was like this is not happening in this environment.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like it was just so not
totally.
That
100%. I went to Wake Forest, which has like a 75% like Greek life or something like wow. that, like 75% of the student body. And I played soccer there, so I was kind of doing my own thing with like
that's
athletics.
Your own kind of form
yeah,
of, yeah,
which was like another way to just like, you know, immediately have friends and be doing that. But it was crazy. Like a guy, like friends, especially for the guys like that, like weren't in fraternities. They were like so screwed. Cause like you said, like they're not letting you into parties.
No, you can't go to parties.
All.
Like if you're not on a, yeah, it's sort of like, what do you, and there's obviously things to do, but when you're 18 years old, you're like, oh my God, what am I going to do with my life?
Yeah.
Or, like, college is supposed to be this one way.
And especially like being in the dorms and like you're hearing people get ready to go
totally.
Out and like not knowing
like, that's really
how
hard.
Do people know about that already? Like, yeah.
Yeah.
No, that was...
yeah. It was, at the time it was a relief, honestly, when I got into one, cause I was just like, okay, thank God.
Yeah.
Like...
no, for sure. I mean, it's like a saving grace at the time. Yeah.
Our stance on this podcast is that if you're gay, you should go to Ithaca College. That's if I could do it again.
Can you give me the TLDR
they,
on that?
That's where the gays are apparently.
We really?
Ithaca yeah. College is gay as hell. And if you, if you have high, if you're trying to get married, you can go up to Cornell across for a night and then
okay.
come back.
I mean, the thing is like Ann Arbor where Michigan is, like there's a lot of gay people there.
Yeah.
It's just like
yeah.
as a freshman, you just don't realize that.
Also Michigan, the musical theater program is really,
really good.
Impressive.
Yeah.
So like, I know there's, actually one of my mom's friend's kids is like a big, I don't know, he's a big MT student there. I think he just graduated. He's going to be in the Stranger Things musical on Broadway.
Wow. Love
yeah,
that.
Like really go blue.
When I was there, Madonna's daughter was in that program.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Was she
wow.
nice?
I didn't meet her, but I was at a bar once where she was there and she was behind the bar holding a huge bottle of vodka. Just like,
I don't know why I thought you were going to say a gun. I was like, why does this feel like it's going to be?
It was Michigan.
Holding a gun.
Oh, yeah. Did you, did you enjoy like this, the big sports kind of vibe there?
I liked the school spirit.
Yeah.
I got, you know, everyone gets the season tickets to the football games and you wake up at like 6 a.m. every football game day and like drink for 6 hours.
Mm. It's a big
I had
football
fun.
School.
I was like, I was a very social person always.
Yeah.
And I liked that aspect of it. And like, I liked that there was like, there was a fervor and I liked the energy. And that's like, it's the same feeling I have like walking around New York, basically.
Yeah.
It's like, I equate it to that where it's just sort of like people are excited to be there. There's shit going on. I wasn't there. I would go to a football game for like 15 minutes and
leave. Well, it's not about that. It's about
no,
the
it's not about that.
Yeah.
And it's about, yeah, exactly. I liked that aspect of it.
Yeah.
My dad always makes fun of me. Like I went to like one other game of any other sport.
Yeah.
And it was like, yeah. So
it's also funny. Like, I went to Wake Forest and our football team was not good, but people would get just as excited about the games because it was all about the tailgate and like
yeah.
the parties before and like whatever the frats were throwing and stuff. But it was always so funny because like people would go to the game for literally like 15 minutes
yeah.
and then they would leave to go to like another party. And it was like the football team was like always like, does anybody want to stay? Like, because it was not like at Michigan where there were like other fans.
Were you there when Tyler Cameron was there from The Bachelor?
No. Okay. So he was.
He played football, right?
He graduated or he left because he transferred to another school.
Oh,
but
okay.
He started
okay.
there. So he would have been 2 years ahead of me.
Okay.
I think 2 or 3 years ahead of me. So I missed him by
okay.
a little bit. But
okay.
some of the older players on my team were like friends with him because they were friends with the football guys. And knew him through something.
Got
and
it.
His. What was the other guy?
Matt James.
So Matt
he was
James,
the actual bachelor.
Yeah. So when I was a
did they go there together? They both went to Wake Forest.
That's where they
yeah,
met.
They both went to Wake.
And then
and
yeah.
So when I was a freshman, we had this like end of the year athletics banquet where all the teams come together and it's just like, you know, player of the year, team of the year, whatever, just kind of banquet stuff. Randomly, they had Matt James, who was a fifth year, or he had just graduated. They had him come back to MC the event. This is well before his bachelor days. He was just like, I don't know, wanting to MC, I guess.
Okay.
So he comes back to MC the event, and he, like, must have talked to somebody on, like, the football team to, like, get dirt on people, to, like, roast people. But he roasted one of my friends about this, like, very, like, sensitive, like, kind of ongoing situation and, like, made her cry. And I was like,
oh.
and then when we found out he was a bachelor, we're like, we're not watching that season. Like, we, like,
no,
never
boycott
forget.
That shit.
Yeah. But
yeah.
So did a lot of racist people.
But it was so.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I'm like, I'm actually boycotting it for the right reasons.
I'm not here for the right reasons.
That's a bachelorette. Yes, yeah, yes, exactly. Yes, yes. Oh my God.
But yeah, that. So okay. I never met Magic, but I did see him MC this weird event one time, and I was like, well, who booked you to do this like fucking awards banquet? It's like us and the coaches and like the dean of athletics. It's like, this is not a fun event. Yeah.
Wait, is her Rachel Kirkconnell? Is that her name?
Rachel Kirkconnell.
Okay, so remember when she got in trouble for going to that? But years ago, went to that pre-antebellum party. The thing. So when I was at Elon, we had this house called Plantation, and then I was like, that's not good. And I was a raging alcoholic. But then I went to the dean and I was like, you got to get rid of this house. You know about this? And I was like, well, there's nothing we could do.
And they're like, we've known about it. And you're like, I spoke from a blackout. Like, I'm just hearing about this.
Like, I'm out of a blackout in the dean's office. Like, where am I? And my dad's always like, you were a different person when you were drunk. I was like, yeah, I was a social justice leader. I was a warrior.
Period.
But that it's so funny because not funny that she did that, but I was like, that's literally Elon. Like, they just.
Yeah. It's like, I know. I mean, I'm from DC. It's so many people went to Southern schools and did similar things. And yes, like, that was just kind of part of the, not to defend it, it's just part of the culture.
Yeah. And KA is like a fucked up fraternity.
If you're in KA
and you're listening, what are you doing?
And you're
here?
Listening, it was weird that you had that house then. And if Janilyn, no, I'm going to say her last name, if the dean, Jana, something, had listened to me, you would have gotten kicked off. Yeah. They weren't going to listen to an 18-year-old alcoholic gay guy. They weren't ready for that conversation.
They were not ready. But no, yeah, I mean, like, I'm pretty sure KA has, like, roots back to, like, Robert E. Lee and stuff. Like,
that's their guy.
Not, it's not good.
Yeah.
Bye. Yeah. Not good.
That's not good. Yeah. What's a boys' club that you are a part of?
I mean, I guess we kind of already covered, but, like, I've seen every single episode of Real Housewives. That's a club that I'm proud to be a part of.
Yeah.
Wait, did you watch Survivor like as a child?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I have an older brother who's also gay. And he...
You guys have so much in common.
My older brother's gay. And my younger brother. Sorry.
You want to know something crazy?
Yeah.
I'm one of four and we're all gay.
What?
No, don't tell...
Are you serious?
Men?
You know, I'm dead ass.
Wow. Gay men?
Somebody that
one sister.
Wow.
And she's
three
gay?
Boys. She just married a woman, yeah.
Wow.
I feel kind of sad.
I was, nobody's ever went up to
I was the
gay.
Most
one
I'd ever heard. Yeah. I'd never heard someone with three.
I'm going to drop this mic.
Wow. Oh so God. This is perfect because I'm one of four. You're one of four. And you're all gay. And you're all gay. We have so much in common right now between...
I love this
you're
for
like
us.
The, yeah, wow.
Wait, so how are your parents?
My parents are great. They're very happy.
Yeah.
I was saying this to you that I want more representation for parents that just like don't care one way or another if their kids are gay.
Yeah, they never really cared.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I don't want a parent who's like, I love my gay son. Or a parent who's upset about it. Just give me a kind of
no,
a chill
like, they're
person.
So, there's no fanfare about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like once you have that enough kids, you're just like, yeah, well, this is also just like, something about them.
Totally. And like
with.
Also,
yeah.
It's just sort of like they have better shit to do than like worry about that yeah. or like trumpet that. They're right. Just sort of like, I don't know, like, My mom lived in New York for 10 years. She, my godfather is gay. And like, it just sort of like,
yeah.
I always grew up like around gay people, I guess.
That's
and, like,
yeah.
Like there was never a question.
Yeah. That's so like, I think a lot about, cause like people are always like, oh, your poor father. And I think a lot about like,
that was part of my coming. That was definitely like yeah. mentally part of coming out.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Like, holy fuck. Like my dad's going to have,
were
you know,
the,
it was kind of in
out?
Order. I'm the third boy. And, I'm just trying to talk, not, like my siblings are very private. But like, you know, I thought about that because I kind of knew my sister was, my two older yeah. brothers were.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, you know, you think about that.
Stressful. Yeah. Yeah.
And now that I didn't think that he would accept it, it's just sort of, it's fucked up ingrained thinking.
No, totally.
You know?
And it's also like, I don't know. I mean, this is not my experience, but I would imagine being like, oh God, like how do I... They already did that.
Yeah, I know.
How do I do
yeah,
it without
exactly.
being like, oh, me too? And
yeah,
like,
I know.
Yeah,
100%. Yeah. Yeah, so I never really had a huge coming out moment because
right.
I was just sort of like, that's just not going to be my story.
Yeah, but yeah. It's also like, what's so great about having a straight kid? Like, what's so
I know,
great?
It's much more fun. They're lucky. Oh,
honestly. Yeah,
honestly.
Yeah,
I say it's my dad's second wind, I think. Like, it's a
I
nice little
that.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so wait, the boys club is that you
is,
have?
Is
well, the boys club is Housewives, okay. And then we somehow got into this. Yeah, oh, no, because I was talking about how I have an older... My oldest brother, who's 3 years older than me, he just like we're very similar in terms of our tastes and mm-hmm. stuff, and he just like always he's very finger on the pulse about like everything mm. and was from like a very young age. So like we watched the Survivor season one finale like as a family, and like
wow.
we watched Bravo, we watched Queer Eye for the Straight Guy that was
yeah.
on Bravo like before
wow.
Housewives.
Yeah.
So like Bravo was on in my house like when I was in middle school, grade school.
Yeah.
The TV was always on in my house. So like I just was always like consuming that kind of culture because of him. honestly.
The first episode of Survivor I watched was when Roger Bingham got voted off.
Of Australia?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Final five. And then when they, I was so confused because
Elizabeth
Jerry.
Elizabeth Filarski was
yes,
next.
And I thought she was so cool and hot, and I was wrong. I was wrong.
Oh, she was my, but she was my favorite at the time. Like,
oh,
she
for
was
sure.
like the, yeah.
It's tough to see where a lot of these people have gone.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
Some people you don't want to keep
it's
up
it's
with.
It's like, it's that meme of we should all know less about each other.
Yeah,
like,
sometimes yeah.
I just wish I knew less about the reality stars. 100%.
Yes. I remember thinking, oh, it's she like, went to Boston College and designs footwear. That's so cool. I
was, and she wore that cool headdress. Yeah.
It's like when you're friends with like your teacher from like third grade still on Facebook, and then you see they post something really crazy, and you're like, oh no.
You're like,
I gotta purge this.
Kitty furry.
That's part of the reason why I really don't go on Facebook anymore.
Yeah,
I'm like,
no,
I just don't want to.
It's brain rot city.
Yeah.
There.
I
yeah.
was so confused about the word jury versus gerrymanthy. I was like, they're calling jury, they're calling the jury.
Oh,
I was so confused by that. And I remember, I think I always liked the hot girl. So I was sad.
Always
one of the hot girls.
Because you wanted to be them.
Favorite hot girl Survivor early times go. Kelly Goldsmith.
Mine was Elizabeth.
Oh, sure.
Like that was straight up, it was straight up Elizabeth. Amber yeah. was close second.
When Amber,
I also loved What's Her Face from who won Amazon, Jenna.
Of course, I know.
Who was like a Playboy model. I was like, I loved her.
Jen and Heidi, they didn't have to take their clothes off. They would have gotten the peanut butter and chocolate anyway.
Iconic moment.
And then Heidi married a Philadelphia Phillies player, which made me feel really important because
I
was from there.
I didn't know this.
She married Cole Hamels. Okay, a Philadelphia Phillies fame.
Don't know him.
It gave me and my dad something to
baseball
connect over.
Guy. Yeah,
I don't really know baseball.
Yeah. Stephanie LaGrossa, I think, is MAGA. I'm so sorry.
I believe that.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure she is.
That's tough. That's the one with the restaurant?
Yes.
Oh my God. Stop.
Wait, you're such a good listener. You're such a good listener. Thank
For
you.
My like 10th birthday, Stephanie LaGrossa had a restaurant they called the Gigi
in
Lounge
Philly.
And Cafe in Philly. It is gone and it didn't last the year. But my dad took me there for my birthday.
Oh
and we
God.
Were the only people there.
We're so similar because when I was probably around the same age, Britney Spears opened a restaurant in New York City called Nyla, New York, Louisiana, where she's from. Mm. And we went for dinner for my birthday.
If she can't make a restaurant work,
York,
no
LA.
One can.
I love that.
Or not LA, Louisiana, because that's where she's from.
Was it
can't
Southern
look.
Food?
Girl, I don't know.
Yeah, something. So it was a steakhouse.
Not enough to keep the doors open. Yeah.
No, it was open for a... Small
That's so
time.
Funny. I wonder if it used
that
to be
like a
more
passion project.
Of a thing for like celebrities to open restaurants like that because it feels like such a crazy.
I wonder if it was one of those things where it's like now everybody has like the alcohol brands and the skincare brands.
Right.
I wonder if it was sort of like you could slap your name on a restaurant.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Which just feels like such a big risk because it's such a risky industry.
Yeah.
Versus like
they're not making. They're probably getting paid up front.
Yeah, probably. That's true. Yeah, like just like a name.
Like oh, let's all yeah. Then sort of like everyone wants to go to Britney Spears' restaurant. I guess not enough people, but
yeah, not enough to keep the doors open.
Yes. I was dying to go
in Chicago. I feel like Juliana Rancic. To go to a restaurant. I'm making this
oh,
up.
Yeah. No, they own RPM Italian.
I used to live there.
It's in DC too.
When you're in Chicago, you're very aware of every celebrity that lives there. Whereas in New York, it's just.
I believe that. It's just like, it's just like part of everyday life.
Yeah. You're very aware of where Emmy
You never
Wilson
know who you're
going
to pass.
Yeah. Yeah. I know.
A C-list celebrity could
exactly.
be among us.
Exactly.
Which trainers are going into the bar.
I saw Betty Gilpin at the gym. Does anyone care?
Love that for you.
And then I tried not to look at her.
When I first moved here, I lived in Lower East Side and I would pass people on the way to work. Like I noticed that kind of thing. So I started making a list. I've had a list for the past 10 years of every celebrity I've passed on the street.
Who's your favorite?
A good one was Gigi Hadid, sort of like the height of her like
wow.
first.
Yeah.
And I just feel like sometimes like you can, this sounds crazy, but I feel like some people really do have like the aura.
Yeah.
And like I was like walking behind her, like we were going the same direction. She had the aura.
Yeah.
She did. Like, there was, like, a vibe about her.
I believe
it was
that.
Giving star.
No, you can really feel the famous on people
yes.
sometimes. Like, they have that X factor. I mean, I think I've told the story on the pod before, but we one time saw Chelsea Handler pretty close up at, like, this comedy festival thing. And she was glowing in a way that I was just like, oh, there's something different
totally.
About you.
Microneedling.
Like this, yeah. Maybe that's what it is.
Yes,
and
it.
Really nice skincare
sure.
brand stuff. But no,
yeah.
like
yeah.
you could just feel like the, yeah, it was just like,
yeah.
even among there was other like really like John
well,
Stewart
that's
walked
when you
by
know.
And stuff. But like
when
you could really see.
I was about to say the environment also makes a difference.
Totally.
And like for example, I've been to all the Bravo cons and like everybody there feels like they're a star because they're treated as if like I'll be a BravoCon. You'll hear like down the hall, like just like screams, like the like people are just like so excited for
yeah.
whoever's walking through. You think it's like Lady Gaga, you think it's fucking Beyonce. It's like Dariq Kemsley from Beverly Hills. It's just sort of like,
oh my God.
You know what I mean? Which like star, absolutely. You know
sure.
what I mean? But like, you know, it's the environment that also
yeah,
informs this.
100%.
This,
yeah.
this
yeah.
feeling.
Yeah. Wait, so on the topic of Housewives, you've seen every franchise, every episode.
Yes.
When did you first get into Housewives?
When it started.
Okay. When did it start?
2007.
Okay, cool.
Actually,
same year as the Kardashians.
Actually, New York and Atlanta. I wasn't really an OC person early on.
Okay.
I came back to it. But yeah, it was around the
Kardashians. Yeah, Kardashians was 07 too.
It was New York and Atlanta, though. It was like Bethany Frankel and NeNe Leakes, who were my...
Did you watch like The Girls Next Door before?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like that was the intro. Beyond.
I loved all the MTV shows, like Laguna, The Hills, Super Sweet 16, all those. Loved the E! Shows.
Sure.
Keeping Up, Girls Next Door.
Who was your favorite person on Laguna? There's answer.
I know. At the time,
What do you think I would say?
You're going to say Kristen.
Of course.
Yeah.
Gay,
so,
right?
At the time, I loved Lauren, but looking back, it's obviously Kristen.
Kristen to me is queer adjacent because she's misunderstood.
Totally. And it was like when you're the bitch on a reality show and it's the early 2000s, like misogyny and the way that people are going to frame you, like in the tabloids and stuff, like it's terrible.
Yeah.
I will sometimes tap into her podcast because she'll go there. Like she told a whole story about Scott Disick recently. I'm very honest. Like just like,
oh, I love that.
She was there for like the peak of that kind of culture.
Yeah.
And she's a lot of stories from it.
I would love to know the tea on Scott Disick because he seems like a fucking weirdo.
Yeah. She was crazy. Like best friends with Kourtney Kardashian, and they went to Vegas and she was photographed with Scott, and Kourtney like shut her off. And then Kristen told that story recently on her podcast. And then she was like, in her podcast, like the next week, she was like, you guys won't believe this. Scott Disick just DM'd me. And she read the DM.
Oh my God.
It was
God.
Like damage control from the Kardashians telling him to reach out to her. Yeah.
Wow. That's really funny. Yeah. I tried to get an internship with Lo Bosworth in college doing what I don't know.
I did love Lo.
I love Lo.
I loved the sidekick.
I love
doing
Lo.
Doing a number of things, I'm sure.
I know. Remember the Lowdown? I think she had a podcast called The Lowdown and she gave financial advice. Yeah.
Oh,
she
was like, exactly where I'm going to go for financial advice.
She was like, you need to save 15% of all the money you get. And I listened to it on the way when I was doing Teach for America in the car on the way to school and thought, I'm going to do
saving
this.
Saving 15%.
I'm annoyed that now I'm like never going to forget that Lo Bosworth said that you should keep 15% of your income.
I feel like she had a podcast with Greta Titelman. Am I making that up?
Really?
I don't know. I don't know. I've been following her career super closely. So
yeah, I don't know.
Just like Lo to me
Lowdown's
was
a great name.
It is a great
give
name.
Give her that. Yeah.
Lo was the opposite of Kristen, but I like both things. And that like the most unbothered would have been bi if she was 20 years younger, for sure. And then one time I was at the Create and Cultivate conference. Do you know what that is?
I've heard of that.
It's just where they bring women on to give advice to women bloggers.
It's like the group conference.
Yes. And then someone was like, do you guys have imposter syndrome? And Whitney Port was like, I do. And I was like, Whitney Port, for what? Like, what do you have that for? Like, what do you have that for? Because Ashley Tisdale said, I don't have that. And she, which I respect.
Yeah, respect.
Own it.
I wonder what she's up to.
I don't know, but Jennifer Hudson was on it, and they said, Jennifer Hudson said, what advice do you have? And she said, I owe everything to God. And it's like, that's not going to help these
girls.
Right.
But Jennifer Hudson I was also a big American Idol person, pretends to be shocked.
Yeah.
And loved Jennifer Hudson back in the day. Like, that was my thing, too. Yeah.
She's an example of the best thing you can do is not necessarily win on shows like that. Kelly's an example.
She's the epitome of that.
Yeah, like Kelly won
was
and
the first
did
winner,
it.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but she, I've heard so many people say things like this, like, you know, when Kelly Clarkson does your song on her show, it's her song now. Like,
beyond.
She still just
she can
has
do anybody's song.
Pipes like nobody ever. Like,
Spotify is begging me to listen to her Happier Than Ever all the time. It's on every playlist. Like, it gets added by Spotify.
She's so good. I also just, like, love her energy. She just seems like such a positive force in the world. Yeah.
I know. I just watched. Yeah, I love her.
And I listened to a podcast with her, like talking about when she was. I guess it must have been when she was starting the Kelly Clarkson show, because that's a couple years old now.
Yeah.
In which she was like, or maybe it had gone on longer. It was moving to New York,
right?
And she was talking about it, and she was like, "I just like can't do LA anymore. I can't raise my kids in that environment." And I was like, "There's something so grounded about that like you could be that like famous and you're still like, this is toxic and bad." And
totally
I
agree.
Yeah. Which I just was like, all right. You seem like normal enough.
I felt weird the other day, and I listened to Breakaway.
Oh, such a good song.
Did it help?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
If you ever feel weird on the G train, take out
Breakaway. That's sort of like a staring out the window song.
Yeah.
It really is.
No, it really does like make me think of like having my little iPod mini and like looking out my parents' minivan.
It hits.
Yeah, it really does.
I'm just picturing a kid with a backpack kicking leaves walking home from school. I ate lunch in the bathroom again today.
Yeah. Aww. Wait, okay, so for Housewives, so how many franchises are there? Seven? Or so?
Currently eight. But there have been three canceled.
Okay.
DC,
Dubai,
and Dallas. The three D's.
Not Dubai.
Wow.
Oh yes, Dubai.
Wait, Dubai and Dallas, yeah.
Robin came from Dallas.
Potomac. Yeah, Potomac was basically.
So Potomac's like the new DC. Potomac, basically.
Yeah, it's basically the DMV, DC, Maryland,
yeah,
Virginia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're still able to get that neck of the woods.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. There's not really a politics angle on it. But
which is probably for the
best. It's basically Housewives of DC.
Especially these days. Yeah. Okay. So they did used to. Oh, damn. I thought Robin was from Dallas. Okay. So, but Dallas is long gone.
Dallas Dallas and Potomac premiered at the same time, and Dallas got canceled after like 4 seasons.
Yeah, Dallas is kind of a boring city. So no offense, Dallas, if you're listening.
And they had some racism too on
I
that
would
show.
Imagine so.
Yeah,
they went to solid so. Core on that one.
Really?
Yeah, that's I teach that. Yeah,
nice.
Not teach. I don't teach anything. I coach that. That's important. But they did. They went to that.
Yeah. So if you had to pick a favorite of all the franchises,
OG New York for sure.
Right. You said that earlier. Yeah.
Currently Salt Lake.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Salt Lake seems like the
Salt
most...
Lake is kind of the new OG Roni.
It feels like it's got the most personality and
they just know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Like they just they're pros and like they know what it takes to make a good TV show, and like I'm still interested in it honestly because like I like that lens of like they're making a show.
Yeah,
it's not just like a friend group that's like existing, like it's a, like no, they're all playing to certain things.
Yeah,
for certain reasons, and I like thinking about it from that angle. I think a lot of casual viewers don't like that, like they think it's they think it's annoying that like it's a show and like they all it's
right
we're becoming more of aware of it being a show, but that actually fascinates me.
It also feels like, I don't know, that's kind of the direction we're all headed in
anyway,
because
totally.
We're all aware of how much we're on the internet.
Yeah, everybody wants to be an internet star or whatever.
Right, and we all, you know, kind of have our own ability to produce things out of our phones. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's kind of
they're just doing it at a bigger scale.
Right, yeah, and it's like, I don't know, that feels...
That's a good point.
To resist that is sort of to resist all that we're doing.
Yeah,
anyway.
I think that, like to criticize that is just kind of to be in denial.
It's not
of,
in a vacuum.
Like, the reality
right.
of 2025.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah,
totally.
Absolutely.
Yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. That's crazy. Should we get to our last boys club?
What would you say is a boys club that you'd like to see in the world?
So, speaking of reality TV, I feel like there's never really been, and I know there have been like a couple like false starts, but there's never really been a really great reality show about the community.
We talk about this. We talk
there
about
hasn't
this a
really
lot.
Been.
There needs to
like,
be.
Like, there have been a. There's. And I haven't really watched these, but like, there was like a Fire Island show, I think, for one season.
Produced by Kelly Ripa and her husband.
Really?
Mark Consuelos.
Which, like, that's not who should
Random.
Be producing.
Yeah.
Totally.
The A List or something.
And then wasn't there like Real Gay Guys of WeHo
we
or something
talk about
like
this
that?
Oh, and that was like. I can't even get into that. But like, I don't know what like the key is to unlocking that.
Yeah.
But like, I would love to see us on a reality show.
Yeah. I agree.
Theory that gay guys, we waste our buying power in terms of media on messy women. Not waste, because I love that, but we don't use it on gay men.
Well, it's like we're also all like, we're like self-sabotaging as like a community. Nobody's more critical of gay people than gay people.
100%. Yeah.
And I think that's also part of it. Like,
right.
It's like they're almost like destined to fail because like we're not going to give them a chance. But like, I want to give them a chance. And
yeah.
Just like... It also has to be good.
It's interesting because Drag Race has really stood the
for
test
sure,
of time.
For sure, and maybe that's always going to be it.
Yeah, and I guess that might be the one. But because it's because like Drag Race, obviously, there's a bazillion people with a bazillion opinions on it. So like,
yes.
It still does get that criticism, but it's been able to stay as a show.
Yeah.
Because I think you're right. I think that's part of the problem with like, I mean, these days anyway, like in the TV landscape, I think a lot of the like executives and powers that be are nervous to put anything out there that they don't think is an absolute hit.
Yeah.
And we also run the risk with queer, I mean, obviously straight people are some of the biggest fans of queerness that they're ever, you know, they're OG fans, but at the same time, the worry would be, you know, only gay people would watch this anyway, and then if we're eating it apart, it's tough.
Did you watch The Queer Ultimatum on Netflix?
No.
I feel like it was so loved by a small group of people, but like so loved, and I don't know how it did.
I think they're making another one.
I think I just like, I have a really, I have a small appetite for the dating shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just do, especially Netflix ones.
Yeah. Well, they're turning those out with no rhyme or reason.
That and like everybody has to be like a regulation hottie. And
yeah.
I'm sort of like, you know, I obviously like to watch hot people on TV, but like it's just sort of like a lot of people on those shows feel like manufactured in a lab
totally,
to me.
Yeah.
And I would just rather watch people just like live their lives.
Yeah.
Mm. Like that's ultimately like my favorite kind of show. So like I actually agree that like kind of your point about sort of our media consumption being taken up by like Housewives and stuff.
Yeah.
And Drag Race really kind of like is that, you know, people spend so much time with their like,
yeah,
it's an hour and a half every single week. It's always on.
Yeah. Like, literally.
And like, people talk about it a lot, like dissect it to death.
Yeah.
And like that, maybe that's part of it too. Like maybe that will just always be the show. And I had my years where I was into Drag Race, but I'm not like a Drag Race person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was not really familiar with Drag Race until, cause I was like kind of a late bloomer in my queerness in general and my awareness of like gay media and stuff. So I really didn't become super aware of Drag Race kind of till I moved to the city and like people were talking about it and I was more aware of it. And I like, it didn't quite click with me. I didn't quite, like, just because I wasn't super exposed to drag, so I didn't know much about it. But then it just clicked one day where I was like, oh, this is, like, four gay men by gay men.
Right.
This is, like, straight guys watching football where they're like, that could be me. I was like, oh, that makes so much sense. Totally. Like, I really get where the fervor comes from.
100%. Yeah. And, like, I would love that just without the competition aspect.
Right. Yeah.
Like, that's what I'm looking
for. Yeah, I know. I'm trying to think of, like, what a good format would be. Because you're right. There are dating shows. And they're always like, oh, like, it could either be, like, really great because there's all these options, or really bad because there's all these options. Like, that's always the risk.
Are they in a workplace? They run a bar.
I mean, that's what I was, like, literally, like, why don't you just, like, go to Hell's Kitchen, like, have some people who work at the bars there.
Yeah.
And, like,
yeah.
I don't know. Like, why wouldn't that work? You know what I mean? And I bet people have tried that. I don't know.
The other one that comes to mind. So there's a show on Peacock called Couple to Thruple.
Okay, I've heard of this, but I've never watched it.
It's an interesting game show dating show, because they're all going in like wanting to find a third for their. It's like a bunch of couples that are like looking to explore polyamory, and it's like kind of their introduction to this. And then there's a bunch of singles who are there looking to join a couple, and so. The conceit's already kind of interesting, but then they also have, like, a counselor on site who's, like, helping them, like, walk through these, like, issues and, like, things that they'll have to think about. So it, like, actually feels like they're doing it kind of ethically, as opposed to, like, other dating shows that are, like, can
like,
be
totally
really
exploited
ambiguous.
It.
Yeah, at the very least. And but there was a gay couple on it who were, like, the most dramatic of everybody, these two guys. But they were from Detroit. And I was like, I think that also a key to this is getting gay people outside of just New York and L.A. Because you need some people that are not going to, like...
That's a good point.
There needs to be some other, like, element to it that, like...
It's the gay cruise.
Yeah.
I think we should do a show on... I did Atlantis. Comedy on a gay cruise. Yeah, you did that?
No, but I was just in...
You're going.
Okay, I was
one?
Just in Puerto Rico for a wedding. Okay, and we land at like 1 p.m. We go to the beach for like the late afternoon, and I'm with a girlfriend from college. And I look up and I'm like, there are a lot of men in Speedos around.
Like, and then you go on Grindr.
And then no, and then that wasn't my first step.
And everything says
like
deck 7, and you're like, we get it.
It was crazy. Like the then I like noticed that the towel boys were in pink Speedos, and I was like, okay. Then I saw the Mister signage.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, what's going on here? Open Grindr. Everybody's status was a boat emoji.
A boat, deck 7, Atlantis cruise, room 22.
And I figured out what was happening.
I did comedy on that. And what really was fascinating was that what you just described, it was all men in open relationships from mid-sized cities.
Yeah.
Because in New York, you wouldn't necessarily go on that because you would go
to
Hell's Kitchen.
You don't need to go on the cruise.
I would watch a show about that. But like I think also a question that I have about the viability of a gay reality show is like, are there certain things that people wouldn't want to do on camera or talk about on camera?
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
True.
Like there are things that people are really open about, like, you know, in non-recorded environments.
Yeah.
But would they want to talk about? And that's the thing, because you want to reflect the actual reality of the situation. So like, are people going to talk about? I don't know what they're doing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
I feel like comedians, we talk about everything.
But
like, if you have a corporate job, like, you're not going to talk about
You're
not necessarily going to talk about like. Having an open relationship or like doing drugs or whatever.
Right. Because all the housewives, it's like, I own Alibaba. I can say what I want. I'm the CEO of Alibaba. What's it called? Not Alibaba. You know what I mean?
But
what's
also,
it called? What are you talking about? What's Whitney Rose's company called?
Alibaba. It's changed a couple names.
It's hers though.
Prism. It's called Prism.
If you're the owner of Prism, you can say whatever you want.
But also, like, okay, so if you're like a woman who's 28 and you get selected to be on The Bachelor,
you're quitting your job.
And you're, well, maybe nowadays.
The NICU's
like,
going to be down a nurse.
No, literally, the NICU's like, we're so excited for Stephanie. But then, like, if you're a gay guy who's like, I'm going on The Real Queers of WeHo, your boss is like, okay. Like, you know, like,
yeah, they're like, yeah, exactly. There's a connotation, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, there's the.
Wait, you're so right. This is institutionalized homophobia that is holding
period.
Us back.
Yeah.
That's so. When if you run a company, when your people come to you, you need
to let your employees
go.
Do a reality show.
Let your,
especially if they're
what
queer.
It is, yeah.
Let them go on the Fags of WeHo. Let's go. Let's go.
I love that.
Give them a leave of absence. Let them come back
yes.
when it flames out.
100%.
That's good.
Oh, that's called equality right there.
It really is. Thank you so much for doing the podcast.
Of course.
We had such
this
a blast
so
having
much
you on.
Fun.
Yeah, this was such a great chat. Before we wrap up, do you want to tell the people where they can find you and your stuff?
My podcast is called Gabbing with Gib. It's mostly Bravo and reality TV focused. I'll have the housewives on. I talk about the shows, all that kind of stuff. And yeah, that's my main plug, honestly.
Awesome. Yeah.
If you're into what we talked about today.
Definitely. Yeah. Check out his podcast and you'll maybe hear from some of our favorite traders.
Yes, I have Chinelli on twice this season. So.
Okay. Wow. This is exciting. Yeah. This is great. awesome. All right. Well, boys, we'll see you next week. Bye.